And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week. But they don't get to say everything that's on their minds, so they have an extra one.
Is this Gavin Adcock?
And that's how we get the podcast.
Someone throw a beer at
the podcast. The podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's how we get the podcast, y'all.
That's how babies are born.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
We have a new gold.
For God's sakes, don't do it. If you guys don't know what you're doing, don't do it.
That guy was very, very adamant. We save that for pretty much everything now. Hey, welcome to it. We've got a special guest, Johnny Joey Jones, is with us. Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And brought in Clay Hedrick. Hedrick, am I saying that right?
You got it, bud.
Who is one of the first responders that's in...
A subject of the book.
Yeah. The new book is called Behind the Badge. Johnny Joey Jones, Behind the Badge. From... It's really smart.
Joe Jones.
Now, as I say, the Fox putting out, doing the whole book publishing.
Yeah, it's one of those like
smart.
You know, in our building, we have Wall Street Journal, New York Post. Well, HarperCollins is there too, which is owned by the larger company. So the division of HarperCollins, which is a big publisher that did most of the patriotic and kind of Fox News-ish books, kind of some of those folks came over. Now we have Fox News Books, so it's in-house.
Yeah, smart.
And it is good. It's great.
You got a built-in audience that can buy you all your books.
We should do Big D and Bubba books, and it's all just coloring books.
No words. Just.
I did that first. I did a coloring book.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, the complaint was I put too much words in it. That was honest God's truth.
What was your coloring book about?
It was years ago when I worked for Zach Brown.
And, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you did that.
A lot of people don't know. The way I explain Zach Brown is everyone knows Batman, and I work for Bruce Wayne. Because if it could be a business, he wanted to do it. So he bought a comic book company, and they had this coloring book idea. And Zach's like, "We'll do it with Joey first and see what it looks like before you do it with me." And so we did a coloring book.
Have you seen him lately?
Cool. I haven't seen him. It's been a couple of years.
He looks like he is on something. Mm-hmm. He is ripped.
You know,
is
he's always
really?
Had,
yeah.
He's always been at, like, he had a CrossFit gym in a trailer that went on tour with him. He's always been in shape. He's just got those genes to where, like, he can be in shape or pudgy and kind of look the same. And now he's like, he's found his, he found something that helps.
His dealer, he found his dealer.
Yeah. I think you just go to the pharmacy and get it now.
Yeah, I think you just get over the counter. Yeah. Talk to us about this book, Behind the Badge. This is the latest from you. Is it all first responders in the book?
Yeah, that's what's cool about it. A lot of people think first responders, they think fire and police, and there's a healthy amount of each, but there's a Maine game warden in there. I met in Maine in 2020 hunting moose, and he's the only Maine game warden to have to use his firearm in line of duty. He was a recovery diver for 10 years and then had the most successful rescue dog in the Northeast. He was in the show Northwoods Law with the dog, won a bunch of awards, trained
himself.
I love himself.
That show.
I feel like
a goober. I'm like, yeah, is anyone else watching this? But just me. I guess
not. You know what's great about that show is you realize redneck is not a region.
Dude, ain't that right?
Right.
Dude, man, but
we said that forever.
Dude, we'll go into markets like we'll have a station pick up the show like in Long Island, New York. And people are never going to work. It works all the time.
Yep.
Because people are just people. They're looking for authenticity,
right.
Not accents.
That's exactly right. But the people in the book are awesome. Vince Vargas, he was in the show The Mayans. He's a good buddy of mine. He was an Army Ranger. And between the Army Rangers and acting, he was a Border Patrol search and rescue. They call it Borstar. It's like their special operations because if you're searching on the border, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And so he was a medic for that. And he's of Hispanic descent. You know, he's... Southern California, Mexican descent, doesn't speak Spanish, generic Mexican,
right. Yeah, he's American.
And he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for over 10 years. And he just talks about, very proud of his country, very proud to do that job. Also has a kinship with the people that are out there rescuing. And a lot of them, crossing the border illegally. And he just gives a really honest, non-political perspective on that you just can't get even where I work.
Yeah. It's also humanizing, too, because some of the stories, I mean, he's telling you things you're not going to see on the news.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the passion that comes out in each of these people in the book. I mean, Clay is the first chapter, and we had to rearrange his chapter a little bit when he made him the first chapter because a story he told in vivid detail, we were afraid that that detail with that story as the first thing you read might turn people away from the book. And you can kind of ease people into that. And so we moved his chapter around a little bit, but put him as the first because he really hits to the heart of the issue, which is the trauma that these men and women endure and how and why do they keep doing it? Like, that's what I want people to walk away from is with the military, we have this appreciation for military because we don't live on the base and we don't go to war with them. And that unknown is easier to appreciate than somebody that lives next door to you. Your kids go to school together. And for all intents and purposes, they just do a 9-to-5 in your life. You're not thinking about what they're doing on that 9-to-5 and what they see. And even we talked about this earlier, the craziest part about it is their war zone, their battlefield is their hometown. For a lot of them, where they grew up. So even if it's not people, if it's a building that's burning down, that's the school I went to. That's the, you know, there's that emotional connection to everything. And the thing is, they see the worst things that happen to us, and they see the worst things we do to each other. And for some reason, they still think we're worth it.
I'll give you a better introduction. Johnny Joe Jones, by the way, is this your 15th anniversary?
My alive day.
So Marine Corps Staff Sergeant, what do you call him?
EOD. Explosives Ordnance.
You throw those words in there, don't make sense. Man.
I don't know. He was
the bomb tech. Now you're just the bomb. Just
there we go.
Something like that. I had a blast. Line.
You had a blast.
Yeah.
So he lost both of his legs above the knee, and
because I don't half-ass anything.
That's right. you should. Can we just submit these to you? If I come up with one, do I just text you and go, hey, and we're all cool. Hey, I thought of another good legless joke.
You know, the funny thing is whenever we walked in, he was like, I went to shake his hand. He's like, oh, no hugs. And I'm like, dude, you got taller. And he's like, no, I don't think so. But like, then we started talking like a little bit off about that. And it's like, that's the craziest thing to me because you could literally go taller or shorter in the matter of minutes.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Allen screws, hex screws that I can loosen up, push my legs up and down, make them shorter or taller. It doesn't help me because basically I'll start falling everywhere.
It throws off your center of gravity.
And that's the thing is like all of us are a little bit out of proportion. I mean, you know, somebody like Michael Phelps, you can see it. But all of us are a little bit out of proportion. So when, you know, it may be that my legs need to be a half inch shorter than they used to be for my hips to function optimally.
Do they test all that?
You do it kind of bracket it in. So you put everything together, you put yourself at about where you were and you take off walking. If you're scrubbing your toe, they're going to shorten you. If you're kicking too much, they're going to lengthen you. And
do they have any new technology that's coming out?
Yeah, the main thing right now is called osteointegration, where they open up the end of your leg and they hammer a piece of metal into your femur, and then your skin grows back around it, and then you attach your prosthetic to that instead of this socket that you put your residual leg down into, which is what I wear. And so, like, for the rest of your life, you've got these pieces of metal, these anchors coming out of your leg, and that's what your prosthetic latches onto. And it's been around for a while.
Better?
The guys that have done it lately swear by it. 10 years ago when it first came out, it was a really lengthy process, and I'm like, I'm good. Yeah.
Wait, wow. Will you do it?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't have 6 months to not walk. Like, I don't.
You have to take all that time off again?
The recovery and the process.
I get that.
I got stuff to do, man.
What do you got to do?
I got to go jump out of a plane in about an hour.
Yo, he's jumping out of an airplane. Yeah, he's skydiving today. Are you going with him, Clay? You jumping?
Not willingly.
No. We don't do that on Friday. Friday's no jump day.
So this is Clay Hedrick. He's, like he was saying, he's in the book as a firefighter. How many years? Are you still active in the?
Yeah, 29 years.
20, wow.
Yep.
Full-time, the whole deal. Like, this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, well, started out as a mechanic. Actually got around race cars with Joy's family when I was a young kid, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, y'all know each other from...
Yeah, since I was three.
Yeah.
And kind of got really interested in mechanics, ended up being a mechanic, and at some point in time ended up realizing rolling around in a dirty shop floor one day, you know, this is not what I want to do when I'm 65 years old.
Not a fan of that, huh?
Yeah. So started doing some research.
You prefer to go run into a burning building.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Sure. You say run into, anybody knows, half the time you're not half the time, most of the time you're crawling anyway. So you're still on the floor.
Well, you know, ended up at one of the local colleges, and they had this really weird testing procedure. They told me test, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to fail that. But it was like, it would ask you things like, what do you enjoy doing on your days off? What kind of clothes do you like to wear? And the mindset was there, if I enjoyed doing the same things away from work that a firefighter already enjoyed, I would enjoy doing the same types of work that he did. Uh-huh. So the top three things that hit for me, firefighter first, military second, law enforcement third. I knew there was no way in hell I was going to be a cop. Okay, we were going to rule that straight out. I felt like I was already past my point for the military, so ended up the local fire department.
Essentially, he knew he couldn't be trusted with a gun in his hand. I mean, that's really what it came down to.
Pretty much.
Hey, speaking of like weapons, when I see people getting hit with like a water cannon, I laugh so hard every time. Do y'all just have fun doing that? Do y'all just go? Bob, did y'all ever get out in the driveway parking lot and just
No.
It's pretty. No. Is it strong? Is it?
Oh, I think this is a moment where they're like, they're saying no, but what they mean is we'll never admit.
I have had to hammer through, and I'll tell you,
winking at each other.
Yeah. There was one time we didn't have enough guys on the job. Got off the truck. Literally, there were two of us. So there was an attic fire on the back of a home, and it was on the chimney. And I couldn't get access yet. We were still trying to get water hooked up, and you know what I'm talking about. So you're trying to get it going. So I'm trying to get access to the chimney into the attic. So I just start hammering. I just open up full bore on the roof, on the actual exterior of the roof with the hose. And I popped a hole through the roof.
Oh, wow.
Within just a, I mean, I used a lot of water to do it, but I got access, and then now I could start spraying the actual attic.
That's good.
So, I mean, yeah, it hurts if you get hit with that.
That's going to toss a protester around.
I know. I know. You see those, they do it overseas, and you see those guys on those trucks, and you're like, man, they're smiling on the inside so big right now.
I know. If they didn't have the helmet on, you're laughing. Laughing.
You don't think about it. Most of the water that we're using on hand lines is coming out of the nozzles, 150, 160 PSI. And we're talking about water's a little over 8 pounds per gallon.
Oh, you're so, right. It's a hit.
Yeah. It'll knock you off your feet.
Well, here, let me do the math here. That equates to.
Okay, we're going to be here a long time. You ain't got no toes to figure all that out anyways. I'm going to take one for him. No.
I love to see
how adding that one in there.
Clay's got some leverage. I like it. So you're touring around doing the book and interviews and that kind of stuff. Why are you jumping out of an airplane?
I'm doing a Fox Nation show for our streaming service about veteran-owned businesses, and I was dumb enough to send a producer this guy's business that does skydiving. And so yesterday's like, hey, I'm over here. This looks really cool. I'm going to have you jump out of a plane tomorrow if you're serious about that. And I'd already forgotten about it. I thought I was going to get attacked by a dog. I thought we were going to go talk to a guy that trains dogs.
You sound like, sounds like our life.
I'm like, which one of these do I want?
Yeah,
I guess
really,
I'm
which
jumping
one
out
is
of the
better?
Plane, you know?
I think I would take the dog and jump out of the airplane.
I think I would, too.
You know, I'm afraid.
But hey, good on you.
Have you ever had the dog? You ever done it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Many times.
Oh, well, then that's...
All right.
Dog.
That's why he chose that.
It's scary when you're attached to somebody else, though.
It's the danger you know.
Are you attached?
Oh, are you doing a tandem?
Yeah. Without the legs, I do it tandem. Before I lost my legs, I used to do it solo. I'd only ever done it solo. And tandem is terrifying. It really is. Because you're not in control of anything. You're just along for the ride.
No. What if they start touching you?
Dude, the two of us?
Yeah, that's what you're worried? I feel like I want to maneuver them so I land on them.
I give them a tip.
My instructor is very excited about this.
Wow.
I don't know. There's nothing you can do, you know? Sit there and enjoy it, I guess.
wow.
So, the dog thing, though, we did it one time. Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you put this thing on your arm, and first off,
the bite suit.
It stinks. It's so nasty.
Smells like your fire gear.
So you only did the arm?
Yeah, I just did the arm. I didn't
know.
No
way. Because I'm thinking, what if he bites the other arm? What if today's the day?
You keep it way back,
where
man.
He goes to the wrong side.
Well, you know how they are. The dog handlers are all like, you know, hey, it's absolutely safe. This is completely. And you're like,
famous last words.
And the dog's teeth went through the thing. It was in my arm. I'm not in my arm, but I had indentions in my arm. from when I took the thing off.
I can imagine everyone that ever worked for Joe Exotic was told, hey, it's absolutely safe.
Joe Exotic.
And then next thing you know, they're mauled by a tiger. I'm just saying.
Whatever happened to the lady? What about the lady who had the big cat thing? Did they ever find her
Carol
husband?
Baskin?
Carol Baskin, yeah.
Yeah, remember her
She's
husband?
Yeah, her husband. Villain.
They were like, he might have been thrown out of an airplane over the Gulf of America.
That man literally flew under the radar, and either it was drug people that killed him or he crashed his plane under the radar.
Yep.
That's it. Carol did not kill him.
I think he ended up as cat food.
You think so?
Yeah,
because that's what they said. And, like, isn't it weird? Like, they were saying that if a tiger eats you, it, like, dissolves everything.
Nothing left. Picture that way.
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys not know that?
No.
That's how you should get rid of a body if you ever kill anybody.
Wait. So it's like acidic?
You never watched Deadwood?
No.
Yeah, right? I don't remember Asian guy, probably Chinese because of the time period. Every time they kill somebody, they'd take him to him and throw him in the
pigs.
Yeah,
you go to the pig farm.
Yeah.
And they would eat all of it. The
pigs
bones
eat
and everything?
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
And there's no trace of the body.
Yeah, there was some woman back in the 1800s who like went through husbands, and that's how she got rid of all her husbands.
I wonder if that's the one in the Haunted Mansion ride. I wonder if that's what that's based off of.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Hey, how are you? You still liking it over at Fox?
Yeah, man. So they don't like me enough to make me a host, but I'm a fill-in host. It's like, you know, a couple days a week.
I see you on all the time.
No, it's a great job. I live in Georgia, so I'm not going to move up there. It's a great job, man. I get to fill in for some of the biggest stars on TV and take their seat for a day on the 5, Fox and Friends. Sometimes it's opinion. Sometimes it's just, you know, telling people what's going on.
I don't know how, like, you'll get on there and you have a take on something. And that later that day or something, I'll see you on X, Twitter. And it's just people are like, they take things so serious.
Yeah.
They think this is their entire life is tax reform or whatever.
Yeah.
Dang, really? I don't know how you do it.
Oh, you know what? Most of those people, if they're saying mean things, this is their own insecurity coming out. It has nothing to do with me. So if they're saying mean things, you just kind of kill them with kindness, a little bit of
Joey, they're coming
sarcasm.
To you talking about, like, you don't have legs and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like,
why would you wear your I'm like, dude, he doesn't have legs.
Yeah, they're doing, like, personal attacks.
Let me tell you this.
So I used to wear only shorts with my suits because there's a valve right at about the knee that I have to access in order to, like, adjust my legs. And sitting on a couch for 4 hours, I have to go adjust my legs. So I just wear shorts so I can do that easy. Well, when you sit down on that couch, the shorts ride up and, like, it's nothing but legs and a suit coat. And so people used to complain all the time. Oh, I know you have robot legs. You don't have to show them off. Like, why do you always need to show your legs off? Why won't you wear pants? So finally, it really was less to do with that and more to do with just like I didn't like how it looked because you couldn't even tell shorts were there sometimes. So I put pants on and started wearing suit pants. The very first day I wore a full suit, the very first comment was, you need to find a different tailor. Your arms are too tight.
What? So they're always going to find something.
That's
no
it,
matter
man.
What.
You can't worry about that.
You know, what about... This is kind of an interesting thing. What if you have pants made with an access port?
Yeah, here's the thing. By the time you get that done, they're worn. It's just, it's not worth it. Like, I'm all about, I've reached a point in my life where it's all about simplicity. If I can order it online or buy it off the shelf and wear it, I'm good to go. Like, it's simple.
Yeah.
If you walk around the Fox set, you might see me drop trowel from time to time, but it's for medical reasons.
It's for medical reasons. So, Clay, when... You're the first chapter in the book, in this new book. Were you kind of sit down and you guys just talked it out, or was it kind of surprised, or there's some things that you didn't think were going to be in there?
No, I kind of knew what was going to be in it, and I think a lot of it stemmed from conversations that me and Joey had through the years, you know, just going on hunting trips and things. We would just talk about different things that had happened at work. And, you know, when he got the idea of the book and stuff, he kind of put these ideas together for me. And then once he kind of got me a start, then I just kind of led with how I felt about it, where it went from there. So, you know, a lot of it's, like I said, it's just was me decompressing, going on hunting trips with Joey and passing the time going down the road. And he's the one come up with the idea to put all this together.
Yeah.
What's really cool about the book with just about all 9 of them, all the ones that I've talked to after the fact a lot, they all said that, you know, it was almost like a therapy session. After they were done, it's like, man, I haven't thought about that in 10 years, but it did bother me, and now it's off my chest kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
And, I mean, even at the fire department teaching, I tell everybody all the time, I do our basically our medical training at the fire department, and I told them, listen, me getting up here and talking to you about my mental issues, PTSD, depression, anxiety, the things that broke me in this job. I said, for one, I'm educating you, and for two, it's helping me more than it is you by letting me get that off my chest, because it's like the more people I tell, the more weight that's lifted off of me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. Right, right. So anytime I get a chance to stand in front of people, of course, I don't talk as good as Joey does, but I do my best with some of them.
I actually prefer you.
Okay. I knew that was coming.
Well, I was just going to say, because Big D's heard me talk about it back in the day whenever I was active, was, you know, after the event, after action, you go back to the firehouse, you clean off your gear, whatever, then you go sit around that table. And there was something special about that spot, man, because everybody would start to have the uncomfortable conversations. And you just kind of were able to work through things. And, you know, sometimes they would say, hey, you know, maybe you need to actually talk to somebody else, too, if something was really bad. And we had counselors, you know, on call that we could deal with in really bad situations. But just being able to sit there with the guys that you serve with and, you know, hash it out around that table was priceless.
Absolutely.
You know, they say that the World War II veterans, I mean, think about it. We weren't a superpower before World War II, and we didn't have the planes then that we do now, which might be a bad thing considering they fall out. You know, there's a lot going on with our planes these days. But most of those guys came back on a ship for 30 days, and they spent 30 days talking, no other distractions, living on a boat for 30 days to get back from Europe. And then they came back and built this country into a superpower. I mean, literally, those are the men and women that built this country. And so Vietnam, Korea, even some of the other wars, the veterans struggled, it seemed like, more than our World War II veterans. And that's the at least the mental health world believes that was the key. My generation, I mean, I got blown up on the 6th, and I was in D.C. on the 10th, right? There was no decompression whatsoever. It's 4 days, and I was awake for two of them, and I'm back, and I'm around my family. There's no opportunity to, like, decompress, talk, and get it off my chest. And so I think that the shorter that time period got, the less conversations that organically happened, the harder it's been for people to kind of rebound mentally.
Yeah, good point. I didn't think about that.
Clay's kind of famous, though, real quick. So there's a photographer in our hometown came up to Clay. He's like, hey, I want to do some action shots of first responders doing their job. So he sets up this whole, like, sparks going in the background, has Clay in his turnout gear, and Clay's reaching his hand out, and he takes a picture of him and like, takes it in the computer and, like, fixes it up and publishes it. So come to find out, somebody in, like, was it England or Scotland ended up getting this picture tattooed on him.
What?
Yeah. Then there's a bar in South Dakota, two-story bar, and this picture is a mural on the side of the bar in South Dakota.
Okay, which picture is it? Because I need to know now because, you know.
I'm sure he'll pull it up.
So
he wouldn't let me put it in the book.
I'm trying really to find it right now.
Why don't you have it tattooed on your back?
Yeah. Me or Joey?
You.
Because I'm not having a tattoo of myself tattooed on me.
Have you ever been in a...
Make it taller.
Do a tattoo of the tattoo on the guy's leg. So it's like his arm or his arm tattooed on your back with your face on his arm.
Sorry, my phone is going crazy.
Lord help.
Yeah, you just turned it on.
There it is.
Here we go. We're Cadillacing now.
All right, let's see.
So this is the photo.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it was done really by a guy by the name of Brandon K. Wood.
Oh, I've seen that picture.
And he made a calendar.
Hold it up to the little camera, too. So, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Bubba has a tattoo of that.
Yeah.
He made a calendar called Not All Wear Capes. And, of course, when this guy approached me about it, I'm sorry, I didn't show you over there. When this guy approached me about it, here's this hippie kid just come out of college, piercings, all this kind of stuff in his face, and I'm scared to death of him. I'm like, listen, dude, you can get me in a lot of trouble by pictures, okay?
Yeah.
So
Pictures.
Yeah, I kind of threatened
Peaches.
Him.
Where the heck are you from?
Pictures.
Pictures. Where are you from?
Pictures. I'm from right where Joey's from.
Oh, you're from Georgia, too.
Yeah, Dalton, Georgia.
Dalton.
Pictures. Right.
Carpet cabinet.
Pictures.
Pictures. Anyways, he come up with that, did all the computer enhancement on it. It really got a lot of traction. This thing ended up everywhere. Of course, I signed all my rights away when we done it.
Yeah, it's great.
And
that'd be weird to walk up some dude. Hey, you got my face on your arm. You owe me a beer every time I see you. Like, every time.
Every single time.
So normally anytime I get around anybody, somebody always points that out. Okay, he's famous.
It's a pretty good one, though. Have you ever been in a fireman calendar?
That one.
That was a calendar.
Oh, that was a calendar?
Yeah. He means like with your shirt off, yeah, raising money like for the poor
calendar
kids.
That I would buy.
No, no, no.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
No.
You didn't ever do the sexy firefighter thing?
No.
He's never been a sexy firefighter.
Do you guys find that women that there's a like it's a thing?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We call them badge bunnies. And I mean,
I love that.
Off the rails.
When I tell you, a friend of mine sent me a reel this morning, and it was like, oh, I've set fire to my garage 3 times this week. Yeah. And it's just firefighters outside the house. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, but man, you know, you have so it funny. For the guys in the military. Of course, cops, firefighters.
Did you guys do all the open makes houses me wonder and what? Things? When you do the open house, you can tell who the cute firefighters are because they have a crowd around them all the time.
Well, remember the first Bachelor was a firefighter
out of
Vail, Colorado.
Yeah.
I met him and his wife not long ago.
I remember one time we had to do, it was here in town, Bob and I had to host, it was like a home show, hey, renovations.
Yeah.
It's at the convention center. And they're like, hey, they've got a fireman show. And I wasn't real sure what it was. And we got out there, hands the thing. And they're like, oh,
we're
wow.
The hosts.
We're the host of these firemen are just going to walk out and women are just going to go, and throw money. Like, we looked like the before and after. It was bad.
We get them all the time. That'll come in the station and they'll be like,
what?
Oh, I want to show little Johnny the fire truck. Mm-hmm. And then she starts telling you about how she just went through a divorce. And I mean, it's.
Hold on. I got to start taking notes.
You can see her. She's looking around the department. She's like meat shopping. It looks like, yep, that's a ribeye. That's a steak. Of course, now I'm over here in the pork loin section. Okay.
You're funny. I like that. I like this. All right, so you can get this book anywhere. It's available all over the place. Walmart, Amazon, Borders? Is that a thing?
What are you talking about? You talking about Books A Million or Barnes & Noble?
Yeah.
I don't know the others.
Well, I haven't been in. I used to, when it was Barnes & Noble, I guess, the first one, where I walked in and I was like, wow, this is really kind of cool. I don't read, but it made me feel smarter. You know, like sometimes being in an airport makes you kind of feel like you're a businessman.
Well-traveled.
Yeah. And you like want to, like, I'm going to get here. But I went in there and I was just like, oh, I love it. And I haven't been in Barnes & Noble in a long time. So it's all online.
They used to have a music section that you used to go and you could listen. They had headphones. You could listen to the songs. And so I would go and pretend I was going to the bookstore, but I would go check out music.
Yeah, that's right.
I did read the book. So you can get it on Audible or.
Did you do an Audible book? Is there an audio version?
Audio version. I read the whole thing.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know, Carson does that.
When I did like Clay's chapter, I leaned into the accent. Some of the other guys, I leaned back out, you know.
So. Oh, that's smart.
I'm getting ready to lean him off the stool.
I got a black Labrador Retriever
again,
puppy.
The book is Behind the Badge. It's good for, obviously, anybody who is in first responding. I've almost said the industry, but it really, I guess it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But also for those who are just curious about it. I talked to a kid the other day. He called and his mom sent him to me. He was 18 years old, wanted to know if he should go into firefighting. He's like, I've always wanted. I'm like, dude, man, first of all, number one thing nobody will ever tell you, it's fun as hell.
You
were talking about why people go back to it. Because every day is different. Every time there's a call, it's different. There's no 2 days alike. There's no 2 calls alike. There's no 2 heart attacks alike. No 2 strokes alike. No 2 nothing alike. It's a great career for somebody who wants things to be different, who doesn't want to be stuck in a rut, who doesn't want to be, in a routine. Granted, you do have to have certain things. You're going to have to train your butt off. You're going to have to be very involved. But it is... firefighting, and I would assume police work as well, same thing. Obviously, any of the medical, EMT, paramedics, all that, you're going to see different stuff every single day. Good stuff, bad stuff, sad stuff, funny stuff, but you're going to see the stuff. And you're going to be amazed at how much stuff is happening in your neighborhood every day.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Congrats on the book. Thanks for the challenge coin. Do you know they had a challenge coin for the book?
What?
I thought it was just a regular.
That looks like Band of Brothers.
It does. You need Clay needs to get a challenge coin with that picture of him.
I know. I could. He wouldn't let me put it in the book. I wanted to put it second page in the book. Was that picture? But
all right, before we get going.
Oh yeah.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
That's awesome.
You give him one of our
truth,
big deal,
justice,
Bubba,
and bacon.
And bacon, one of our challenge coins.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
So Carson, which one's bacon?
I thought he was showing me Big D and Bubba's. I'm like, trust me, I've seen it.
Not that impressive. Looks bigger in pictures.
The book is called Behind the Badge. Johnny, Joey Jones, and Clay. Thanks. Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You guys want to hear a great song?
Yeah,
absolutely. You're right now,
it's a great song. Because it means we're done.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
For God's sakes,
the
don't
Big
do
D
it.
And Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Thank you.